Sick Boy Podcast is a health and comedy show about what it's like to be sick. Wait, is that right? How can illness be funny?
You'd be surprised.
Okay. Sick Boy is hosted by
me, Brian Stever.
And me, Taylor McGilvery.
And myself, Jeremy Saunders.
Come on in and join us to melt your heart, learn something fascinating, and bust a belly laugh. Trust us, you'll be glad you did.
You can find Sick Boy on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your pods.
This is a CBC podcast.
Well, I'm eager to see you and hear how you're doing, but I was wondering if it's okay if I actually started by sharing some news myself.
Oh, sure.
With you.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I've been, like, dreading this day.
Oh,
sorry.
Tell me about that. I want to hear about that. That's so welcome.
I guess just, like, my experience of parenthood, like, it really broke me. And so I guess there's that. Whenever someone that I like is in my like periphery, like my friend just had her third baby, and I'm like, like, what are you doing? You know, like, you had two and you were okay. Like, but then I also know that you'll like want to have a baby and then like take time off, and then that's the selfish piece of me that's like, no, Hillary, don't leave.
You're right.
Hi, I'm Hillary McBride, and this is Other People's Problems. You're listening to a real-life therapy session with a client that we're calling Vanessa. So you may recognize Vanessa's name and voice from an earlier season of this podcast. And Vanessa and I have been working together for a few years now. And I know that because of the specific nature of Vanessa's trauma and the way that she has been left, whether emotionally or physically, by some of the very important people in her life and moments in need. I went into this session, if I'm honest, feeling both excited to tell her the news about my pregnancy and nervous, feeling a little vulnerable, wanting to honor her experience and know that I was going to give her some news that could very likely feel complicated for her. Her transition to parenthood was awful. It was really awful. It was extraordinarily challenging for her emotionally, physically, and relationally. She needed the support that every new mother needs, and she didn't get it. When Vanessa thinks back on her time of becoming a mom, it is an extraordinarily painful set of memories to access. And I can imagine her projecting some of that onto me, her fear for me actually coming from her experience of it being so, so lonely and scary and sad. What we didn't include in this recording is the specific plan that I have about how I'll return after some time off to adjust to motherhood. But what I really want for her to know through it all, regardless of the logistics and the specifics, is that I will not drop her. Even though we're taking a break in what that will look like, that we will be together again.
I feel, I'm searching for the right word, but like good about that plan. Like, you know, because if you were like, I'm going to come back 6 weeks after I give, I'd be like, no, you're not. Yeah. And I do like trust that you have support and like that you are doing like your own work. And I don't feel like so worried for you, but yeah, and then I guess there's this piece of me that's like, oh, am I still so like broken? You know, like that sort of feeling. Even though like I think we've had like not 3 to 6 months, but we've had like longer breaks and like that's been okay. I guess like I've had a really like rough week, I guess. So it's like feeling kind of like unsteady coming off of it.
And then, of course, to feel unsteady coming off of that and to come in and me say, and there's going to be a break in our work, probably doesn't feel very good. Mm-hmm. I imagine it feels, like, scary even.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is there a better word?
Like, just feels a little bit, like, uncertain.
You and I have worked so hard on paying attention to feelings and what they mean and what they're telling us and trusting their wisdom. So I'm curious if we could do that now, because it feels so important to me to honor your experience in a way that might help us know more about you and what you might need?
I feel like it's like just like yelling, like, yeah, just like, just don't leave me.
Yes.
It's also like, I feel really bad saying that because I'm also like generally very like excited for you and happy. Yeah, and like,
I hear that.
I guess it's like, it's telling me that you're not going to come back.
Okay. I'm wondering how much that's about us and our attachment relationship. I'm also wondering if that feeling is familiar or if it reminds you of something you've known or felt before.
Yeah, I think I have this sense that, like, everyone goes away.
Yeah.
And whether they, like, physically go away, they, like, emotionally sometimes go away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just a lot of, like, feeling really, like, left and alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is less about you and more about, like, what's been coming up, I guess.
Yeah.
And just having that repeated experience of just, he just kept leaving.
Yeah.
It's a human experience for us to go through loss, for there to be change or for relationships to end. That happens to all of us. What's unique about Vanessa is that these experiences of endings or abandonments even happened in moments of profound need. When she was in distress, when she was vulnerable. And unfortunately, on several occasions, at various points in her development, from childhood all the way up until quite recent, when there was something happening, some of the people closest to her either didn't show up, or when she asked for help, they flat out rejected her in that. So she carries a particular kind of relational bruise around being in pain and being alone. And you can hear the way that some of that gets projected onto me. Although our relationship is really different than that, there's been such consistency and trust and safety that has been built over our years of working together. There's something about knowing that I'm going to be taking some time off and her being in the middle of some things that she's working through that feels so familiar. Almost as if it's a repeat of that exact wound.
And now it feels like he's gone for good, which the one hand is like what I want.
Yeah.
And he's not gone, like he hasn't disappeared.
Right.
And also just like other friendships and relationships that have just gone away.
And when that happens, what's that like?
I think it's something that I don't even really know how to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like, I feel like I put up a bunch of like walls, you know, like really unhelpful walls, and just try and pretend like it doesn't bother me, I guess.
That doesn't bother you that people have left, or that you're afraid that they might?
That people have left.
Yeah.
I don't have full confidence in myself yet that I like can be okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just in life, generally, I suppose.
So the please don't leave is to me, but also lots of people that you've let in close that have left.
Yeah.
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 There is something about the way that you said that, the intensity of it, that made me think that maybe you had let me in past those walls.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It seems like it wouldn't be so scary or so uncertain if you had been expecting me to drop you all along.
Yeah, I guess so. I was thinking this week, like, or was noticing, like, how difficult it is for me to feel seen by other people. And even though I'd, like, desperately want to, I'm still so protective of, like, being too vulnerable or like saying too much, and if I do then I find it really like it really throws me off. And like I don't feel like that with you. Like I feel like I can kind of like open myself up, and instead of like opening myself up and then risking being like left open, which happens, and very different from like any other relationship I have.
Well, that, I think it's so important that we're saying this, because you're, what's so special to me about this specific conversation that we're having is that you are in this moment, even about me, even about this news about my pregnancy, letting me into the scariest parts of it for you. Mm. And it's when you let me into those parts of your story that I feel closer to you, that I know you more, that I feel like I can love you more and better and more skillfully. I understand the pain of this, the don't leave me, mm-hmm. and the repeating story that you sometimes built, like, find evidence for in your life, mm-hmm. that people are leaving you. But I also want for you to have the sense that in this moment and right now and in our work, I haven't left you. Not when things are hard in other moments. Mm-hmm. Not even when it's feelings about me and my life and my body and what's happening in the future. Mm-hmm.
There might be a story hanging around for people that therapists aren't necessarily supposed to say that they love their patients, that they love their clients. So perhaps hearing me use that word in session feels alarming or confusing for you. First, I want to name that it's actually how I feel, that I am more than just an object of transformation. I am a real human, and I think that therapy works best and is most effective when something real is happening between people. So if I'm really feeling that and it's appropriate to talk about it, then that's appropriate to say, because it's my real experience and I want her to know what's really going on inside of me. You know, one of our founders of this kind of transformational caring affection in therapy as a scholar, as a theorist, a psychologist named Carl Rogers, and he used the term unconditional positive regard to talk about what therapists do in therapy. You know, seeing this person in front of us in their pain and believing in their value, no matter what they say, seeing the best in them. I think that that was just a fancy word for love. I actually think this is how we do good therapy. Sometimes we might shy away from that word because it feels too human, too real, too expansive, perhaps even inappropriate. And yet for me, it's the thing that is always present when someone feels seen in the midst of their aloneness and their pain. It is always and will always be love.
What if someone you love asks you to help them die? What would you say? This is the powerful question at the heart of The Ultimate Choice. The series follows the journey of Michael and his wife Anne as they grapple with his request to choose the way he wants to die. I'm Rob Cribb, and through their story, I learned a lot about my own family. I hope the show is a way to start conversations many of us want to have, but rarely do. The Ultimate Choice is out now.
It reminds me of all of the things that we've weathered. Like, I've seen you in session. You've been married. You're separated. You've moved. Like, you know, I've been at different points in my education and training. We've seen each other now at, what, like three different offices or something like that. And I think that in there being a story that says, like, people always leave, mm-hmm. I'd really like for you to see the through line in our relationship that said, look at how we have stayed together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to be the redemption for every other person. Like, that's not actually what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, in the midst of the fear, I want for you to see the continuity mm-hmm. in what we've done. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if, is there a young part of you that also wants to know that I am choosing you? A young part of you that needs to feel like she's going to be held no matter what?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe even like a postpartum, you know, thinking about leaving, and that not being like childhood trauma, that being very recent.
Yeah. Trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have this memory of being really upset And I would hold it together like so much so yeah. that like, but then I would like reach a breaking point and everything would just like overflow. And I have this memory of being really, really sad and, like crying in bed and, like he just walked out of the room and left. And, that's like a memory that I come back to a lot. I do try and like go in there mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. give that piece of me like mm-hmm. some care and attention, but it is one specific memory that, I mean, there's a lot that have been coming up lately, but just like that one specific, like just being in mm-hmm. such deep mm-hmm. distress.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like one of the most intense moments of abandonment.
I mean, it was one of them. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole, like, yeah. There's so many.
I think if I gave myself more room, I would feel really angry right now thinking about that.
And it's, like, it's just, like, it's all coming back to hit me now. And I don't want to change the topic. But I had this conversation at the kids' school last week with one of the teachers. Okay. And she was, you know, telling me how much she loves her and, like, she's so amazing. Like, she started crying at one point. I'm like, who are you? Like, do you want to keep her? No, just kidding. I was, you know, we're talking about the separation and how, like, I've been doing really well. And the first part of the year felt like wow. she was really struggling. Yeah. But, and I was explaining how it's actually been really good for her because she didn't have a relationship before because he would just leave
yeah.
and she never really felt like he could take care of her, but now it's like she was forced oh. to like connect with him yeah. and how he like makes time to talk to her like twice a day on the phone. She calls him in the morning before school and she calls him before bed mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, before he would just completely ghost us when he was away, like he would just uh-huh. be gone, and it didn't really like sink in when I was like saying it that like that was a big deal to me. But then I did okay. I was okay for a couple days, and then Saturday he came and picked them up and I couldn't do anything and I just like got back in bed.
When it hit you,
it was just like that how awful that was, and like because he was gone, like he would leave so much. I was in so much distress and he would be gone and he wouldn't even be checking in, like how things are going. And, you know, like one time my grandma died and then he just didn't talk to me for three, like he didn't message me back for 3 days. And not that when he was back, it was much different, like emotionally wise. Then all of this other stuff started to come up.
Wow.
And it kind of, like, the timing kind of makes sense. Like, the kids aren't in crisis anymore with yeah. the change. It's, like, yeah. everything's starting to settle, and it's just all, like...
There's room for it.
...coming in. Yeah, there's, yeah. like, there's the actual space. It was just such a visceral experience, too, of, like, my body feels weak. It, like, I couldn't eat. It just, like, I couldn't do anything.
What Vanessa's describing here is the way that she survived so much aloneness and uncertainty, probably by shutting some of the feelings around it down. We all have this way of somehow tucking things away just to get through. And then sometimes when there's space, when we're not in crisis anymore, or when our needs are met to some degree, all of a sudden the things that were there all along that are unfelt, that are unprocessed, come back up to the surface. It's as if our nervous systems, our bodies have this wisdom that know when something is too much, not to bring it to the surface, but when we have the space, something inside is asking for these parts of us to be healed.
And I kind of like was brushing it off a little bit because I was like, even start to have like scary thoughts about not wanting to live anymore, like kind of thing. Like, even when I was in it and he'd leave and people would ask me about it and they'd, like, be like, oh, like, that must be hard. He's gone so much. And I'd be like, oh, it doesn't bother me. Like, I just couldn't feel it when I was in it. Yeah. And I still feel very, like, petty, I guess, for being upset about a lot of it.
Can I pause you here? Mm-hmm. How would it be for us to not minimize it and to give that pain as much space as it needs, to let ourselves see just how awful it was?
And I, like, mm-hmm. I really want to. Mm-hmm. And then there's this part of me that feels so, like I'm saying something about him as a person if I, like, let myself be hurt.
Yeah. Okay, that, can I explain how I understand that? That feels to me like it fits into the category of the ways that you've made the pain go away.
Yeah.
Like all of the protectors, defenses, like whatever language we want to use, the parts of you that have inhibited you from accessing it all.
Yeah.
And it's, whether it's minimizing or feeling guilty or feeling anxious around it, it's all of the same stuff. Keeps you from being with it, right? Because mm-hmm. you were in pain and alone with it, mm-hmm. and it was intolerable for a long time.
Yeah.
So I want to extend my gratitude to all of the ways that you survived. Even the minimizing, what choice did you have? Even the suicidality, what a moment of relief to think it didn't have to hurt anymore. Mm. And the guilt, I don't want to talk bad about him. How helpful that has been to keep the stuff away. And in fact, I think what's really important, based on the conversation we were having earlier, is you and I can feel really close to each other, and you know I'm going to be right with you in that. That even if an appointment ends and we stop and we start again and we stop again and we start again, I'm going to hold you really well in that grief. And so what will be different is we will make room for it, and it won't be minimized, and you also won't be left. Mm-hmm.
I can see all of these little ways that it just, like, chipped away yeah. at me. It never felt like anything big enough. Like, each individual thing was, like, never yeah. big enough. But when you look at it as a whole, like, I don't even think I've told you about a bunch of the stuff, like, just because there was other more acute
sure.
things that yeah. were coming up. I was remembering, like, it was time, like, years ago when we were, like, I think having a discussion, and you said something that I took wrong, and I took you to mean that you had said, like, were implying that it was, like, my fault, the way that he was treating me. You probably remember. And then I, like, cried for, like, a week and, like, was just, like, completely devastated. I was remembering that and, like, feeling like, but you don't know, like I just wanted someone to understand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What had happened.
Yeah. I want to honor that you've carried so much of this alone. Yeah. We just want you to feel me really with you right now. This has been so painful for way too long. And I feel so sad about any moment where I didn't understand or know fully. And I feel so sad for any moment where your pain wasn't seen in the way it deserved to by me or anybody else. We are not ending the space that we gave this in your life, and we can honor it by continuing to come back to it, as I said, as often, as long as is needed. Some part of you has always been telling the truth, whether we knew what the story was or not. And I'm so grateful that I get the honor of being with you and all of it. How does that feel, hearing me say that?
I don't know. It just all feels very, like, raw, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm tired of feeling like so like sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been sad for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's going to feel so sweet when you can remember a season of your life and know that it was hard, but it's over. And look at your present and feel other things. And we're going to rejoice and celebrate and like delight in any of these glimpses that we get along the way of that.
I want to be as consistent as possible for the people that I work with while also knowing that it's not my responsibility to be their savior or to be superhuman. So one of the things that I did for Vanessa, for all my clients, is I gave them as much notice as I possibly could that I was going to be taking a maternity leave. And I also came ready in those conversations to say, and here's when I'm coming back, and here's what that's going to look like. So instead of the recreation of these traumas, which are just like someone's feeling something and then, you know, they need someone and that person isn't there, we're giving it lots of room. We're making sure that all the feelings are heard and that before there's any of that even felt sense of disconnection, that there is lots and lots of closeness. I'm Hillary McBride. Other People's Problems is produced and edited by Jody Martinson. Mixed and music by Lee Rosevere. Fabiola Carletti is our digital producer. Arif Nurani is the executive producer of CBC Podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.